Hallelujah. I want to talk about certain things that the Lord has just put on my heart about laboring unto the Lord. And how we lose sight of everything and get caught up in everything, and we lose sight that we are actually laboring unto the Lord. You know, no matter what you're doing, you're laboring unto the Lord. If you start struggling and being all concerned about certain other things, then you're not laboring unto the Lord, you're laboring unto you. Everything we do is laboring unto the Lord. If you really have that relationship with God, everything you do, when you take out the garbage, you're laboring unto the Lord. Oh man, I got to take out the garbage. Well, you're laboring unto the Lord. Man, I got to do this, I got to do that. No, you're laboring unto the Lord. Because when you get out of the way, you'll realize it's unto God. Because somebody has to do something. Even in the Old Testament, it spoke about the Levites having to do service in the temple. Well, you know what? Someone probably had to do the laundry because they had to wear garments, didn't they? Yeah. Someone had to clean the toilets. Somebody had to clean the temple. Somebody had to pull out the ashes from those sacrifices. Somebody, you know what I'm saying? Somebody had to do that. You know what they were doing? They were laboring unto the Lord. You know what their reward was, that their inheritance was? God. How many of y'all want the presence of the Lord?
Amen.
And you know what? We got to get out of the way and start laboring unto Him. Because the Bible says, he who sows in the Spirit shall reap life. He who sows to the flesh shall reap. So when we really start sowing, yes, we know that sowing in the Spirit is praise and worship, it's speaking the Word and so forth, but there's a physical attribute that you and I actually sow in the Spirit. When you praise and worship and you're causing your flesh to sow in the Spirit, something that doesn't want to sow in the Spirit, would you lower that? You know what I'm saying? It's actually, you're causing your flesh to sow in the Spirit. Can everybody hear me still?
Yeah.
Even in the back, can you still hear me? Okay. Hallelujah. So we want to continue to sow. You're going to take your flesh to sow. God used, in fact, God came as man to do labor, right? The Bible says that the Lord came as a servant. He came to serve me and you. So that he could be the example of what he wanted us to be. So we're going to go through a few things here and just pray for encouragement of understanding of who we are actually laboring for. Amen? Praise God. Would you turn to Matthew 19? Hallelujah. And verse 19:16. Would you read it with me, please? Now behold, one came and said to him, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may enter eternal life?" So he said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." And he said to him, "Which ones?" Jesus said, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbors as yourself." The young man said to him, "All these things I have kept from my youth, what do I still lack?" So he, you know what, there was something that this man knew about lacking. Now he had everything. He was able to keep these partial commandments, but I'm sure he couldn't keep them all, because no one could. But he knew that he was lacking something. He says, "Well, what do I still lack?" And what did Jesus say to him? "If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come, follow me." But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Wow. In other words, this man was laboring unto himself. He was laboring unto himself. And when he approached the Lord in his own works, not the works of the Lord. So the Lord challenged him. He said, "Listen, you want to really follow me?" Now God knew what he was going to ask, don't you think so? He said, if you really want to follow me, then sell all you have. Give it to the poor and follow me. And it's like, no way. I worked too hard for all of this stuff. So that man wasn't laboring unto the Lord, was he? In fact, what happened to him? He turned away and walked away from God. You know how many believers walk away from God right now? Many. Because they're laboring unto themselves. And you know, they might start it off at a good work. But then the riches and the ways of the world choke them. The Bible says, many will turn away from the faith, fall from the faith in the last days, taking heed to the voice of the stranger. Because the powers of darkness are trying. Remember, we're not fighting flesh and blood, are we? You know, so they're trying to cause us to move away from Christ, aren't they? In fact, they'd like for us to labor for Christ and then turn around and give the devil the money. You know how many people go out and labor for Christ for a little while and turn around and give the money to the devil? When the wealth of the wicked is supposed to be laid up for the righteous, not the wealth of the righteous laid up for the wicked. It's supposed to be the other way around. Amen? So we've got to begin to change our focus and understanding that whatever we do must be unto the Lord. You know, when you start realizing that everything you do is unto the Lord, you have more peace. You have more peace. You know why? Because if the Lord says sell everything, you'll realize it's not mine anyways. You know, can you imagine if the Lord showed up to many believers' homes and said, listen, I want you to sell everything. Yeah, but. But Lord, you know, I work so hard for you. Well, if you work so hard for me, then get rid of it. It's mine, isn't it? But you know what? The problem is we get caught up. You know, we get fat in this country too. There's a very spiritual fatness in this country. And it's like the devil's just getting people fat in the spirit to slaughter them. Because you know, when you're fat in the spirit, you can't move. You get lazy and sluggard, and that's what he means by fat. Compromise. You know, we begin to rely on others instead of our own relationship. And this is what the Lord shared with me a few weeks ago about my people love knowledge more than they love me. Because now people seek just for knowledge instead of God themselves. And it's important that we seek Him. We must begin to change our ways and begin to put our focus towards laboring on to the Lord. Even in your relationships and marriages and with your children, everything must be laboring on to the Lord. The Lord says, love your wife as the Lord loves the church. Amen? So everything that's in the natural realm is a reflection of what God, His character is in the spirit realm. Amen? Praise God. Well, while we're in Matthew, let's go to Matthew 9. Oh, hallelujah. Glory. Matthew 9 and 35, I think. Looks good. Would you read it with me, please? Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Now that's a whole other thing right there. Because the gospel of the kingdom is healing. The gospel of the kingdom is freedom. The gospel, Jesus was here laboring the kingdom of God. Does everybody understand that? He was laboring the kingdom of God. He was actually building His house here. He was laboring in the kingdom of God. See, the kingdom of God is just not, remember we talked about food and drink and so forth. It's peace, joy, and righteousness and the Holy Ghost, which is in representation of power. And here He was manifesting the kingdom of God. But He went around in the synagogues teaching these things about the kingdom of God. And one of the things about teaching of the kingdom of God was laboring unto God. Is everybody with me? In verse 36, But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Now remember this. Remember we talked about last week about every believer that's truly walking right with God has a heart of a shepherd, because we are the offsprings of the true shepherd. Does everybody understand that? Every believer has a heart of a shepherd in some way or another. In other words, God is going to give you a flock, whether it's one person, two people, three people, whatever it is. Is everybody with me? So everyone who is really a believer has a heart of a shepherd, no matter where you are. I don't care if you're an evangelist. I don't care if you're a prophet. I don't care what. In fact, most of them have a flock, don't they? I don't know any shepherds or evangelists or pastors or prophets and evangelists that don't have some sort of a flock. All of them do, don't they? Because they have the heart of Christ, and the heart of Christ is a shepherd. And the Lord was moved in compassion. He said, you know what? He sees them scattered. He says, you know what? They don't have shepherds. They don't have shepherds. And God's heart was moved. And it says in verse 37, then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. So he realized in great detail the importance of shepherds. Shepherds. And those are believers. They're disciples, aren't they? They're the followers of Christ. Every one of us has a heart of a shepherd one way or another. Whether you're going to fulfill, no matter what office you fulfill, you'll always have a heart of a shepherd, because that is the heart of God. The Bible said go out and disciple them, didn't he? Yes, we have specific offices in the body of Christ. But every one of those offices and those officers that are in those offices, if they don't truly have a heart of a shepherd, then they don't belong in that office. I don't care what they are. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. So he said, well, pray for laborers. Pray for laborers. Some of us are going to eventually go to our families, and so we're going to shepherd that flock, aren't we? Amen. Whatever it is, you're going to be a shepherd of some kind of a flock. And that's what God is saying. Pray for laborers. Why? He says, go out and disciple. And we need to. And we need to be the example of the great discipler. Hallelujah. Would you go to Genesis 2? You know, the Lord was the greatest laborer there ever was and ever will be. I mean, the Bible says that he created the heavens and the earth. That took labor, didn't it?
Amen.
In verse 2, chapter 2 and verse 1 through 8. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were what? Finished. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. So he rested too. Well, if you didn't labor, you didn't need to rest, right? Hello? Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work. That means labor, which God had created and made. This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Before any plant of the field was in the earth, and before any herb of the field had grown. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to till the ground. Now, wait a minute. So the Lord just got done laboring and restoring the earth, didn't he? Okay. Now he's restored the earth, and he's going, okay, now I need a partner. I want somebody to continue on my labor. And he created man. It says, and there was no man to what?
Till the ground.
Right. But a mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust out of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a what? Living being and a living laborer. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. To what? To upkeep what God had created.
Amen.
Amen? So now the Lord was going to be coexistence with man. Does everybody understand that? He was going to labor. Man was, in fact, the word grace means to co-labor. That's one of the attributes of grace. So we see that even God's character was a representation of labor, wasn't it? When he manifested himself in the natural realm, he labored. He washed people's feet. He fed them. Right? All kinds. He served them in a great way. Even made them dinner. Hallelujah. Go to Genesis 3. Now we know that man blew it. And God supplied every bit of seed for man there. Everything that man needed in the garden was given. The only thing they had to do was tend it. Name the animals, pick the fruit, you know. Whatever. Volleyball, you know. Beach parties, you know. I mean, praise God, they were having a good time, and the Lord was walking with them. I mean, come on, can you imagine walking in a beautiful garden and talking to anyone, the one that anything you wanted you could have? Come on, let's go surfing a whale today. You know, they named all the animals. They had dominion over the sea, over everything. Everything they had. Everything. There was no evil, no nothing. They had everything. They called the Moby Dick, came over, and, yeah, I mean, whatever. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they had everything. God created an atmosphere where they had everything. They would lack nothing. And the greatest thing they had was his presence. They knew when he walked in the garden. They knew when he spoke to them. They spoke to him face to face. They didn't have no sickness, no disease. They were healthy, strong, knew all the animals, everything. It was just, it was paradise, wasn't it?
Amen.
Paradise. And that's all they do is upkeep the place. And the Lord would supply all the tools. They didn't have to do anything. Just upkeep the place. Hallelujah. Then they bit the dust. They bit the wrong thing. They said, well, God, you know, you've been supplying us this wonderful place. We really are enjoying it. And we think we can improve something here. Man, I run across a lot of religious people that they can improve God all the time. Well, you know, hallelujah. I have to laugh sometimes. You know, I get a lot of young believers and so forth that come in and they start telling me, well, you know, Pastor, you really need to run it this way. But that's cool. I'm open for any kind of suggestion. I'm open for anything. But it better be God. It better be God. But hallelujah. Okay, so they bit the dust, right? They blew it. Go to verse 17. Now, of course, what you reap is what? Amen. So the Lord was passing out judgment to everyone. He judged the serpent, judged the woman, and it was up to Adam now. In verse 17 in chapter 3, and then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife. In other words, not because you just heeded the voice of your wife, but because you disobeyed what I told you and listened to someone else. And have eaten from the tree which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Curses the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. In other words, it ain't going to be easy. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth to you. And you shall eat the herb of the field in sweat. Obviously, they didn't sweat in the garden. In sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, For dust you are, and to dust you shall return. So we see that something changed here. Now that God was co-laboring with man, and man's pride, because of what they chose to do, the Lord said, okay, serve yourself. And you know what? They are on a mission now of survival. Does everybody understand that? They came into the, they started from a place of everything given to them. Everything was now taken away. Now they had to survive. That relationship in God's presence was removed because of sin. Now they're on a mission of survival. He said, now you're going to have to sweat, you're going to have to make bread, you're going to have to take the grain, you're going to have to dig into the soil, you're going to have to, I'll supply the seeds, but you're going to have to do all the laboring now. So we see that a great transition happened here, didn't it? There was a different type of labor. Labor for yourself. Then, of course, we know that this went on for many years, and then the flood came, right? Wash the earth, cleanse the earth, establish a whole nother realm, because now God was watering the earth, wasn't he? Things were beginning to change. We call that the baptism of the earth. There's actually two water baptisms, and there'll be a fire baptism. Now let's go to Exodus 20. But even in that period of time, man was still laboring for what? Existence, wasn't they? Exodus chapter 20. Now the Lord gave Moses a set of rules and regulations, known as the commandments, and they were to tutor them and keep them in line as a part of their labor. And in verse 9, he said, 6 days you shall labor. He said, from now on you're going to labor. In fact, the Bible says, no worky, no eaty. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So you got to understand something was happening. First of all, and we'll go back a little bit to Exodus 16. But here God restored something. He expressed his character with them again. Because the Lord, the Bible says that the Lord restored the earth in 6 days, right? And rested on the seventh. So now it says here, okay, after you will labor 6 days and rest on the seventh. So now he's expressing his character. He's beginning to restore something back to mankind. Is everybody with me? Okay. And in Exodus 16, they were out in the wilderness. The Lord had just taken them out of Egypt. Egypt representing the world. Right? How many of you all have been taken out of Egypt? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And now here the Lord is reestablishing something else here. He's saying, listen, when you come out of Egypt, when you come out of bondage, I'm going to begin to feed you. I'm going to begin to feed you. He's talking about spiritual food. The only thing that the Jews had to do here in labor was to gather the food. But of course, their grumbling and complaining killed them. And in verse, let's see, we can start at verse 25. Then Moses said, "Eat that today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none." He's talking about the manna. Is everybody with me? Now it happened that some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather, but they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, "How long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws?" Those are ones that were greedy. They were greedy. They wanted more than what God was already offering them. "See, for the Lord has given you the Sabbath, therefore he gives you on the sixth day bread for 2 days. Let every man remain in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day." In other words, be still and know that I am God. Amen. So the people rested on the seventh day, and the house of Israel called its name manna. And it was like white coordinator seed, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Then Moses said, "This is the thing which the Lord had commanded. Fill an omer with it to keep for your generations, that they may see the bread with which I fed you in the wilderness when I brought you out of the land of what? Egypt." In other words, here it is. Now, of course, we know that this was a prophecy of what Jesus was going to come as the bread of life once you and I were removed from darkness. And Moses said to Aaron, "Take a pot and put an omer of manna in it and lay it up before the Lord to keep for your generation." So we see here that God revealed to them, he began to restore something. This is prophetic also what was going to happen. But they still had the labor, didn't they? They had to gather. And then they had to get, when the cloud by day moved, they had to quickly gather everything and move, didn't they? And this went on for 40 years. God fed them, sent them quail, hit a few rocks, they drank. I mean, you know, they didn't have to do anything. They just had the labor. God was waiting for them to quit grumbling and complaining. And because they wouldn't, they were not satisfied with what God was doing. God, they couldn't go out and labor anywhere. He kept in the wilderness. That's all they could do is maintain in this traveling. Until that generation died off. Hallelujah. Is everybody all right? Go to Matthew 11. Matthew 11 and verse 28. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Would you read it with me? "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now, this is something powerful, because now that people have been laboring for self-survival, Jesus comes into the world, serves them, labors them. He says, "Listen, why don't you come to me?" And that's the whole thing that the Lord tried to do in the garden. Stay with me. Stay with me. He tried to do it to them in the wilderness. They still grumbled and complained. So here the Lord says, "Come to me. And I will what?
Give you rest."
Rest from what? Laboring. Self-laboring. Verse 29. He said what? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. In other words, bind me to you. And learn about my labor. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your what? Souls. You know why? Because when you are bound to Christ, you're not worried about anything. You're not concerned about money. You're not concerned about where. You're not concerned about how. You're not concerned about when. He said, if you'll bind yourself to me, you won't labor for self anymore. You'll labor for me. As a matter of fact, not only will you labor for me, I'll labor with you. That's what yoke is. Now you're not laboring alone. You're laboring with him. That's why the Bible says, Emmanuel, God with us. What breaks the yoke is when you begin to labor for yourself. Does everybody understand that? He says, for my yoke is what? Easy, and my burden is light. Man, you know how many people out there are struggling like crazy? They're struggling. Man, I need to have a bank account. I need to have this. If I don't do this, I they're so busy trying to do it on their own without doing it with God that the Lord is standing there and that person just takes off and keeps doing it. And the Lord is saying, when are you going to come back so we can labor together? When are you going to come back? Some people just haven't gotten promoted and everything. You know why they haven't gotten promoted? Because they're still laboring not unto the Lord, but unto self. Is everybody with me?
Hallelujah.
Oh, labor unto the Lord because it's easier. Labor with him, not against him. Glory to God. And Proverbs 10. Verse 16. Verse 16. Proverbs 10, verse 16. Would you read it with me? The labor of the righteous leads to life. Say that again. The labor of the righteous leads to life. One more time. The labor of the righteous leads to life. You know why? Why would the labor of the righteous leads to life? Because he who sows in the flesh, what? Or sows in the spirit, what? Reaps life. And he who sows in the flesh reaps what? So depending on where your heart's at when you labor, depending on what you're sowing. Man, I need to make that car payment. Man, I need to do this. I need to do that. Man, if I don't get these extra hours, then I'm... You're not laboring unto the Lord. You're laboring unto self. You know why? The yoke would be easy. The burden would be what?
Light.
Does everybody get it? Jesus is trying to free us from us.
Hallelujah.
Man, if I don't study the Word and get this, you know, people labor studying the Word. You know, they're not laboring unto God. They're laboring unto themselves. And that's all it's doing is boasting up pride. I'm laboring, if I don't get this. And they're all stressed out. Can you imagine reading the Word and getting stressed out? Man, I don't get the That doesn't sound like fun. Jesus said, you know, we're to have joy. You know, I mean, our burdens are to be. He said, I came to give you life and life more abundantly. Man, if we don't, we really have to start changing our attitudes, start laboring unto the Lord and not unto us. We need to get out of the way. Oh, glory, hallelujah. What do we read, 16? Do we read 17 yet? Do we finish 16? Okay, let's read 16 again. The labor of the righteous leads to life. The wages of the wicked to sin. Wow. He who keeps instruction is in the way of life, but he refuses correction goes astray. Yow. So we really need to start that focus change. When Mr. Stress shows up about the bills, about this, about that, you'll start laboring unto the Lord with your heart. Things will change. Things will change. You know, I remember one time, I forgot who it was, Benny Hinn, I think it was, it said, you know, you give unto God, not unto man. People who give unto God don't reap. I mean, people who don't give, who give unto man don't reap, but people who give unto God reap. If you're looking at a man and giving unto a man, you're not reaping. Because man will let you down. But no matter where you're giving, if you're, of course, you want to give in good soil, because the Lord directs us to give in good soil. But the reason why it's good soil is because it's ordained by God. But you can't look at giving unto the man, you give unto God. Now you're laboring unto the Lord. No matter what it is, whether it's finances, whether it's in laboring of a physical labor, whether you're a Sunday school teacher, Monday school teacher, I don't care what. You know, you're laboring unto the Lord. In fact, even if you're in a secular job, your heart is always sensitive to what the Spirit is saying is, this person needs, I'm going to send this person to you at some time. Well, see, if you're sensitive, if you're laboring unto the Lord, if your focus is unto the Lord, God is going to do something with you even in your secular job. No matter where it is. I remember the Lord sent me to this one place to paint. I thought, man, what did I do wrong? And then the Lord said to me, what Paul said, I became many things that some could be saved. Changed me instantly. I went there every single day, laboring unto the Lord, praising and worshiping, had music in there, painting, almost died a couple times from the fumes. But, you know, I was laboring unto the Lord. He rescued me, gave me mouth to mouth, hallelujah. Filled me with His Spirit, glory to God. One of the guys in there was Spirit-filled, you know, it was powerful, so we started, you know, partying and stuff. And when it was time for me to go, all these guys that were in there, they didn't want to see me go. But it wasn't me, it was the presence of the Lord. Amen. And I was able to bless them all with something before I left. Before I left, the Lord had me write a little card with something because He asked me to give away my collection that I had. And I gave everyone a piece of this collection that I had. And I was laboring unto the Lord. I had calls from them, sometimes it was a year later or a year and a half later, just, you know, because of the impact of God. Not because of a man, but because of His character. You know, changed people's lives. I don't know, you know, Lord could still be using that same, whatever it was, that same card or as a remembrance or whatever. Same thing with you. The Bible says that we are the walking epistle, right? You and I are now the extension of the hand of God, whether it be His mouthpieces. But we're the witnesses, aren't we? You know, you do not know what's going on. But if you'll continue to be focused and laboring unto the Lord and not yourself, you'll continue to keep the presence of God with you. One of the things that grieves the Spirit is self. Grieves the Spirit is self. Two eyes and you're out. I can't do this. It should be him. Glory to God. Let's go to John 6. John chapter 6 and verse 26. Hallelujah. See, and if you're faithful with the laboring, He'll promote you.
Hallelujah.
But if you're not faithful, you won't get promoted. If you have to constantly try and promote yourself at your job, how many times people keep going to the boss, man, when can I get a raise? When can I get a, when can I do this? When can I do that? That's the more me, me, me. I. Then you're not laboring unto the Lord, you're laboring unto yourself. Because the Bible says the Lord builds the house. Amen? Yeah. Believe me, if you're looking for promotion from man, you'll get it eventually, and you'll lose the blessing of God. Pass you every time. We're to let God, listen, if you truly have that relationship, you know the Lord sees all and knows all, doesn't he? He doesn't miss nothing. Don't you think he knows you need more money? Don't you think he knows you need a job? Don't you think, you know, I get people telling me, well, you know, I need this and I need that. And the Lord says, don't give it to him. But man, there's a beautiful job. I mean, I can make a lot of money. And the Lord says, don't give it to him. Don't let him have it. But Lord, no. He's not yoked himself to me yet. He's still laboring on to himself and not unto me. When he labors unto me, I'll promote him. Oh, hallelujah. What did I say, John 6? Everybody all right there? John 6, 26 and 27. Jesus answered and said, most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the sign, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. So some people just seek God for their fleshly desires. Oh, Lord, oh, I'm your humble servant, Lord. You know the things I've done for you. Like he didn't know. Lord, you know the laboring I've been going through. I can't take it any longer, Lord. Yes, you can. When you start laboring onto me, instead of onto yourself. Should we go to verse 27? Let's do it. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father set his seal on. Which who will give you? God. Glory to the Lamb. Yeah, those who seek him for self will be in that place for a little bit. First Corinthians chapter 3. Glory to God. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I'm glad that everybody's attitude is going to be different tomorrow at work. Everybody's going to be smiling all day tomorrow at work, man. Hallelujah, Lord, I'm doing this for you. You're going to be dying tomorrow. Praise God, I love death. So does Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 8. Now he who plants and he who waters are one. And each one will receive his own reward according to his what?
Labor.
Own what?
Labor.
For we are God's fellow worker or fellow laborers, aren't we? You are God's field and you are God's building. According to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he what? Builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with what?
Gold,
that's laboring for self. Silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw. Each one's work will what? Yeah, it usually becomes clear before the judgment too. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by what?
Fire.
And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built it on endures, he will receive a what? Wow, isn't that nice? So if you're laboring unto the Lord, you can expect a reward. Don't worry about man. I want my blessing from the Lord. I want my blessing in the spirit, not in the flesh. Because if you get the blessing from the flesh, it always holds you down. It brings you in bondage. Does everybody understand that? You know how many rock stars are in bondage? All of them. They're in bondage big time. How many wealthy people are in bondage? I mean, I don't know too many wealthy people that are not in bondage. Some of them are worth millions, and they're a wreck to try and maintain it. The blessing from God is maintained by Him. The blessing from self and man is maintained by man. There's a difference. In fact, the blessing from man, there's a fear that's there of losing it. Does everybody get it? If it's self-imposed blessing, and the Bible says that man blesses himself, there's a fear of losing it. But if it's a blessing from the Lord, it's already His and you know it. Has everybody got it? Okay, let's go a little further. Hallelujah. Luke 10. Luke chapter 10. Verse 2. And he said to them, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves." Now understand this. He just said he wants his laborers to go out into his own harvest. Does everybody see that? He said, listen, look, go back up. He said, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into whose harvest? His harvest. Not our harvest, His harvest. Now, the Bible says that we're joint heirs of Christ, so what's His is ours. You understand that? You first must get the realization that it's His. When you labor unto Him and it's His, then He shares it with you. Go your way, behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Well, the wolves are out to steal, aren't they? Carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the road. But whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house, and if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. And remain in that house, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the what? Labor is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. In other words, don't keep begging for your raise. Don't keep asking for this and asking for that. Because a laborer is worthy of his wages. Does everybody understand that? Now, I'm not saying God isn't going to move you, to promote you. And sometimes He's got you in a place to learn something. Does everybody understand that? Look at what happened to Joseph. I mean, come on, man. Joseph never thought he was going to be the second in command of rule of the earth. Do you know that? He was in second command of ruler of the earth. First they had to get him out of the hole. And they had to get him out of slavery. They had to get him out of bondage. But the Lord had to mold him and use him. He didn't get paid for what he... Then he began to use the wisdom. God began to reveal dreams to him and everything. That didn't happen when he was in the hole. He had a few dreams and whatever, which got his brothers jealous, didn't it? But there was a lot of stuff he had to go through, didn't he? But God was preparing him to be second in command of the ruler of the earth. He was the second head honcho of the whole earth. A Jew. A Jew. Only one that could... The only one he had to answer to, of course, we know was God. Was an Egyptian who ruled the earth. I wonder if he asked for any raisins. Everything he touched was prospered. You know why? He was laboring unto the Lord. All the way. Everything that God gave him, he was laboring unto. You know what he was doing? He was making everybody else wealthy. You know what he was doing? He was revealing God's character. They couldn't understand this dude. I'm sure he got upset. I'm sure he cried out to God. But you know what? He maintained. He continued focusing on, laboring on to the Lord, using what God had given him. And everything he touched prospered and was blessed. Because his attitude and its motive was in the right area. Oh, hallelujah. Let's go to Ecclesiastes 5. You know, a lot of people use, well, you ask not, you have not. And a lot of people ask so much, they get thrown from their job. Oh, hallelujah. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 10. Now, of course, I've been using the job as a reference, but it's in everything. It could be a wife at home, a husband at home. It could be whatever. It could be wherever you're at. It could be your own self. I need this. I need that. And the Bible says God knows what you need. It says he supplies all of what? Our needs according to his riches and glory. Far above all we could ever ask or think. But there's a stipulation to that. If we'll start laboring unto him. If we'll start focusing everything onto him and not us. You know, as many believers have started focusing, like I shared, onto him, and the next thing you know, they start focusing on self. You know what happens? They lose it all. Or they're so busy trying to maintain what they believe they worked so hard for. And they get further and further away from the Lord because now they're chasing money instead of him. Remember, God supplies the seed for the sower. You ain't got a seed, you don't deserve it. No seed, no buy. In verse 10, he who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver. Nor he who loves abundance will with increase. This is also vanity. When goods increase, they increase who eat them. So what profit had the owners except to see them with their eyes? The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eats little or much. But the abundance of the rich will not permit him to sleep because he's too concerned about upkeeping what he worked for. There is a severe evil which I have seen under the sun. Riches keep riches kept for their owner to his hurt. But those riches perish through misfortune. When he begets a son, there is nothing in his hand. As he came from his mother's womb, naked shall he return to the go as he came. And he shall take nothing from his labor, which he may carry away in his hand. And this also is a severe evil. Just exactly as he came, so shall he go. And what profit has he who has labored for the wind? All his days he also eats in darkness, and he has much sorrow and sickness and anger. Oh, hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 4. Jesus, Jesus in Jesus. Verse 28. Let's see. I think we better start somewhere else. Let's start at verse 20. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you had heard him and have been taught by him, or in other words, yoked to him, as the truth is in Jesus, laboring with him, that you put off concerning your former grumbling, complaining conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, my desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, laboring unto the Lord, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God and true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Whose responsibility? Ours. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him what?
Labor.
Working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to what?
Give
him who is in need. Wow. Believe me, a true laborer of the Lord is always looking to see what he can give. Let's go to Matthew 25. Hallelujah. Somebody there? Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then a righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry, and feed you, and thirsty, and give you drink? When do we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come and see you? And the king will answer and say to them, surely I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. First Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Is everybody there? Let's read it. Therefore, my brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That means you're laboring unto the Lord, it won't be in vain. Go to Acts 6. Verse 2. Read it with me, please. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. In other words, there was more work to be done, laboring, but it was going to be laboring unto the Lord. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, who may appoint over this business. In other words, they are ones that they could trust to appoint over the business and laboring of the Lord. But you know what? They had to earn that trust, didn't they? It says that they were what? Good reputation. A good reputation means they earned trust. Okay? Full of the Holy Spirit. Wisdom. That they can take care of the business of the Lord. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of what? Faith and the Holy Spirit, and they chose others. Does everybody see that? So all of these things, God was saying, these are the ones that are the laborers. They were the laborers. Everyone is called to become a laborer unto the Lord. But God will position you as you stay faithful in laboring unto the Lord. Amen? Matthew 16. And then one more scripture. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 24. Oh, wait a minute. Verse 23. Come on, read this with me. But he who is Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me. For you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Ooh-wee. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Revelation 12. We'll close with this. So it seems like we have to deny ourselves. You know, that's a part of the walking with the Lord is denying everything. We have to deny ourselves in everything. Revelation chapter 12. Verse 11. Would you read it with me? And they overcame him who was the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. Hallelujah. So let's get a change of attitude. When the devil starts bringing you up to you, and about this and about that, and whatever, you turn your attitude and laboring on to the Lord, I'm going to guarantee you that God will bless you.
Hallelujah.
He's going to bless you.
Hallelujah.
You just stand fast and continue laboring on to the Lord and let Him build the house, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what. You keep laboring on to the Lord. You pray on to the Lord. You labor on to the Lord. You serve each other on to the Lord. You know, in the Old Testament, when a marriage was started, the man did not go out to war for a year. He didn't go out to battle. He stayed home and served his wife for a year. I know a lot of them would like that today. But praise God. It doesn't mean you can't go to work and still serve your wife or your spouse or one another. We labor on to each other. You know, the Lord says we're all, every one of us is a part of His character. You know, it warns us about cursing man and blessing God. Because He looks at us as His children. We're all brothers and sisters. We need to start laboring unto one another and doing everything unto the Lord. Everything. Everything. Change your focus, no matter what. Get out of the way. Deny yourself. Now the Word says, do unto others as you would do unto yourself. Start laboring unto the Lord in everything. And you'll find, you'll walk in the joy of the Lord.
Amen.
Listen, that's the key. If you're not walking in the joy of the Lord, you're laboring on yourself. Amen?
Amen.
Father, we thank You for Your Word. We give You all the glory and honor and praise. Continue to strengthen us that we don't lose focus, that we continue labor unto You and please You, Lord, in everything that we do, that we may bring glory to Your name and expand Your kingdom and be a witness to those who don't know You, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And everybody said,
Amen
and hallelujah.